Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
Moves up and takes the lead, but Mr. Brightside's challenging. Mr. Brightside up to Alligator Blood. Cascadian late. Mr. Brightside in front. And Mr. Brightside has won the mile from Cascadian. The Inevitable has a really good buffer. 200 to go. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the night. Zaki joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face at the 150. Animo takes the lead from Zaki. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Oh, she's too good. They can't beat her. In time I so untold, I'm just another soul for sale. Oh, well.
The beach is out of breath. Listeners, and welcome back to another Racing Previews podcast. It's all happening this week. We've got Royal Ascot. Bot is nice and tired. He's actually turning 21 on Sunday. Thought I'd sneak that in there nice and early. And he's declaring one at Flemington. So stay tuned, because it's going to be another good one. And hopefully we can turn over a profit. For joining us for the first time, we've got Will the Bot Alford. We've got Nico Magualta, myself, Ben Caluzzi, on the panel tonight. Fellas, how are we doing? How's the week treating you? Have we got enough shut eye?
No, I've been sick all week, and then Royal Ascot's on. Yeah, I do sound shit.
Day six is better than day five for old Bot.
Yeah, I've had the flu all week, and then Royal Ascot's been up to like 3 all night watching the races and betting and stuff. So I'm completely cast, but that doesn't stop the fact that we've got a complete certainty at Flemington's. Honestly, I think it's a top five off-season meeting I've ever seen. It's a spectacular betting card at Flemington on Saturday.
It's respectable.
I'm very excited. No, for Nico to say that an off season meeting is respectable is essentially saying it's like a it's
especially
it's
at Flemington
as good as it possibly gets. Like this is,
yeah, it's a good meeting.
It is unbelievable, and I'm so excited that I'm going on Saturday. I'm working, but I'm going. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Royal Ascot's been good. Backed a couple winners.
Beautiful.
J-Mac got one last night.
He did, much to my disgust. And
well, it
was
the Godolphin thing.
What was it? Was it $26 in the morning into $7 at the jump
with
one
mate,
scratching?
Some of the betting moves it just makes me love it even more. Like
it makes me love
so,
it, but it makes me hate
so
it.
So good,
because
it's so good.
I had Cinderella's Dream. You know how I play. I'll latch onto something and then I'll save her, exacta, whatever. And because this horse was 26s into sevens, I haven't had that much on this exacta. And I thought, you know, this exacta will pay 30 to 1, something like that. It's ended up paying 15s because of how much it was backed at the death. And I've had a strip out in that on night two. But anyway, I stayed up night one with Liv, and that was awesome. Got to watch Stocklands. That was...
How does that happen? That was ridiculous.
I don't know.
How the fuck does Docklands beat?
He just loves the mile at Ascot. That's how it happens.
It was Ben one, Bot zero to start the Royal Ascot.
He was given a peach.
I did a screenshot right before the race. Bot says Docklands is no good.
He is no good. It's just fucking blatantly true. Docklands is a fucking yak. Won the Queen Anne, for fuck's sake. That's ridiculous.
Mate, Zara drops the whip at the 200, still wins. Get up, son. Get up there. Straight
unbelievable stuff. I think Resilient's half a cat, to be honest.
First win.
Who's a cat?
Resilient.
That's a big call. That's a big call.
He's not the most he's not the most genuine horse in the world.
You've probably seen the horse race once, mate. Shut up.
He's not the most genuine commodity in the world.
Sure. Field of Gold was awesome. That was one of the better. And that was awesome as well because I remember when I was like younger, Puissance de Lune was one of my favorites back in 2012 he was racing. I think he was racing around when Fiorente won the cup. He was always one of my favorite horses, and he probably would have won the Melbourne Cup one year if he ever got in. And he's a full brother to Field of Gold's mum, so that's why he's grey. So very exciting. He's a very nice horse.
Yeah, he was, and Colin Keane almost couldn't hold him long enough. He got that split at the top of the straight. They'd obviously gone a real fast gallop. That's the other thing with some of these feature races; they've gone real good tempos, and that's why we've seen such dominant wins by Field of Gold. Ombudsman was extremely dominant off a fast tempo as well, and the Prince of Wales's. So, yeah, there's some exciting horses going around. Ombudsman is either favourite or second favourite now for the Arc.
They said they don't want to push him to a mile and a half, and John Codds is probably pretty conservative. I don't know much about it, but
right.
He seems like a pretty conservative sort of bloke. I doubt they'd probably go to an arc with him, but I'm really excited about him. He's got a bit of a vibe, like lightly race as a 3-year-old and then come back second start as a 4-year-old, goes and pisses in the fucking Prince of Wales's. That was awesome.
Yep.
He's a big horse too.
Yeah, he is. All right, let's get to it. Flemington on Saturday. The rail is out 11 metres the entire circuit. I was listening to Nick Ashman speak, and he still reckons, despite the rail being out, that it might be fenced slightly off. So that's worth noting. It's going to be a cold day, 13 degrees, but clear. So we're looking at a good four, but it won't be anything too firm. It'll be a wintry good four. And we're starting race one, 11:55 a.m. Market here is all one-way traffic, and a lot of the reason it's one-way traffic is because Bot has absolutely unloaded on number two, Observer, $1.70 from Booklesh is $5.50. Don't know if I said that right. Impending War, $7.50. Millennium Blade, $8. Bot, you're very keen on this two-year-old. What he did last start, would say he's probably one of the better two-year-old colts in Australia.
Yeah, racing gave me a birthday present early, giving me even money, or better than even money for this thing. He is the best two-year-old in the country, I think, and he will handle these. He'll go straight to the front and he'll roll across. The faster he needs to go to get to the front, the faster the rest of them have to go to keep up with him. And I think he'll win by 3 to 4 lengths. I think he's about $1.37 chance. I think Booklesh is a really nice horse. Who I backed last time. If it knocks me off here after backed at 34s, I will have a tantrum. But I don't think it will. I don't think any of these can beat Observer. He will probably win the Caulfield Guineas next year. In a bad group of two-year-olds, he's the best of them, I think.
Next season?
Yeah. So in a bad lot of two-year-olds, I think he might be the best of them. That rating was off the charts. I think the 64 on the same day, won by Nadachi, they did go slow. So pace influence, but he ran the 1400 meters about 11 lengths quicker than what Nadachi did. So that's a bit of a guide into how talented this horse may be. Its mum's a full sister to Piero. It's by Gayath, who was a front-running beast Godolphin horse that got up to a mile and a half over there in Europe. So this might be a special one that we can might get out over a trip too. So I'm excited about it, and I think $1.70 is. I mean, it's probably value, but whether you want to step into that price, probably don't. I don't know. It depends. Chuck it in multi, I guess. but yeah, I wouldn't probably back it now. It's not my go backing with that short, but even money was kind.
Yep. I took $1.90. I'm one who likes to bet with Bet365 just because they've got that option of cashing out. And obviously the deductions scheme is a lot better, but I probably should have just taken $2.15, $2.20.
Why would you want to cash out on this thing?
I guess it was probably more the deductions thing. Like if one of the second or third favorites come out, then obviously you get a lot more deducted if you bet with Tab, Ladbrokes, Sportsbet, the like. But I probably should have just taken it. It was always going to get into the red, but nonetheless, I've still had a really good bet. I think what he's going to be able to do is just find the lead here with Craig Williams, who, despite the fact that he's not going that well right now, he's still a calm head. He's a great senior jockey. He's one you want on in this situation, and usually he's a pretty good judge of pace. So,
yep. Let's hope he doesn't go too slow. Yeah. That's the only thing.
Hopefully he clicks it up from the 600 and just, you know, says see you later.
Clicks it up from the 1,000 and says see you later.
But yeah, in terms of big bets on two-year-olds, this is probably right up there for me with both the Magic Millions two-year-old short price winners, Coolangatta and Storm Boy as, yeah, bigger bets I've had on two-year-olds. Nico?
Yeah, I completely agree. I've got sort of nothing else to add. I'm back in Bot in here. He reckons it's the second coming. I'm not so sure, but he probably doesn't have to be to win this race.
Willows. Just Bot if it loses.
Yeah, I will.
Yeah, I can't wait for it to lose and then get.
I will.
The things some that dirty Bot's, messages the, from Nico.
The
can't
things
wait.
That Bot's been saying about this horse is just. It's unholy, really. So.
Well, I don't get excited about them very often, and this is.
And you've got the excited about one who's won a Sandown Maiden in the middle of winter. On a leader by
It's all
track.
About the time. But it's anyway. All about the time, Nick.
Yeah, well, we'll see, won't we?
We will. Let's move on to race two. It's the Ken Cox Handicap, 2,000 metres, three-year-old event. Chocolates is $3 favourite. She goes up from 54 kilos to 58, worth noting. Nico Frod is $6. Valor's Machine, $8.50. Prochester, $9.50. Stylish Secret, drawn wide, $11. And Frontline Action, also $11. I'm backing two here, and I'm really happy to back the two that come through. The best form line in this race, the best last start rating in this race, and they ran the Quinella in this race. Chocolate's main bet, while she does go up in weight, I still thought there was plenty to like about that last start win. She's fourth up. She's going to get the right run from barrier six. She's a filly on the up and she's still improving. So she's the clear favourite. And I took $3.20. But I've also taken 10-1 for Prochester, who I thought this was a huge run last time. He was posted 3 and 4 wide, probably from the 700. And Liam Reardon just had to press the go button. He did a phenomenal job from out there in barrier 17 to only just be beaten by Chocolates. Despite his wide run, he still ran the third fastest last 400 metres of the race, and they really cleared out from Nero Frod. So I wouldn't be surprised if he keeps drifting because he was such a big price last time, but he's a tough Kiwi stayer who gets him barrier 2 here and is going to be afforded a much better run. So I'm really happy to back 3 and 7 at $3 and double figures.
Yeah, I think Chocolates would have won the Queensland Derby. And I think it gets in pretty well again here. It's one of those ones that'll keep improving. It's only fourth up here. The other one I'll have something small on. This is a little bit of a saver. Is Bearings, who was good in Sydney and has done a couple of nice things. It's by Tarzina. I'll appreciate getting out over a bit of a trip. But Chocolates... Chocolates is the main one, and I think he'll probably starts around that, 2-1 price. It's a fair price for me.
Yep, Nico?
Yeah, I think Chocolates will be extremely hard to beat. I think she'll just keep going about her business over this sort of winter period at this sort of trip. And, I can't see why she won't win again. I think $3 is sort of more than fair. And, she's one of the better bets on the day for me.
Beautiful. One I want to throw up quickly, Bot, is the one coming back from the staying trips. The top he is American Wolf. Gets Jala Kennedy, takes 2 kilos off. Look, I don't know if it's got the speed in its legs to be beating these at 2,000, but it's a class horse in this field. What did you make of its chances?
Yeah, if it wasn't busted in off 50 days, I'd be interested. And I probably do have it shorter than the price it is, but I'll probably be happy to let it go around. But yeah, it does appeal to me at that price, yeah. Could have something tiny on it.
All right, sweet. Yeah, if it gets to $26, maybe I have something on. All right, race three is the Funky Farm Sprint. That's, what's his name? Chris Things?
Chris Simons.
Chris Simons Farm, yeah, yeah. 1,100 meters quality event. Cleo Cat is all quality. She's the $2.40 favorite from Marble 9 at $6. Lose Some, Win More, $7. Recommendation, didn't have a jockey booked, but now has Johnny Allen, $7.50. And Thespian Waters, well supported, into 13s. Nico, I'll pass the baton on to you first.
Yeah, well, I really wanted to be with Cleo Cat, but Barrier 2 is less than ideal. So I'm really confident in number 6, Lose Some, Win More. It's one of the better bets of the day for me. It's just drawn on the right side, track and trip, unbeaten. You just have to respect the jollies when they come over with these horses, whether this horse has been going back and forth or it's stayed here for the last little bit. It sort of doesn't matter. Yeah, I'm just really sort of really keen on this horse. I was against it last start when it was back in trip around Sandown, and it ran really well. And I think, yeah, sort of back to Flemington, down the straight, Spanos on is no issue. I think 7s and 220 thereabouts is a really good price. Yeah, no doubt Cleo's probably got the most upside in this race, but Barrier 2's this yuck. I don't really want to be involved in any of that. She might make her way out to the middle, but yeah, no, leave me out of that. Lose Some, Win More, one of the better bets of the day for me.
Sweet. My best value of the day comes up here in number 8, Thespian Waters. That's why I was very interested in that betting move on the tab. He is still a big price on Ladbrokes, $18. I took $19 and $4.40 to place with Entain. This horse, you could just about say with the inevitable, obviously, such a sad passing, he is probably the best horse in Tasmania now. And his recent ratings stack up incredibly well with this race. He is 3 out of 4 at 1,100 meters, even though I do think he's probably better a little bit over further. He goes well fresh. He's got a monster turn of foot. A lot of his races over there at Hobart, Launceston, he's been getting back a long way and really smashing the line. And a lot of the time these turn of foot horses are really well suited to the straight. So he's drawn barrier 6. He gets in with 54 kilos and I just can't see him not running well here. So maybe even your top 4, top 5 markets, you might be able to have something on there. But I just think he's a really big price for a horse who brings over good form around the inevitable. He's a big turn of foot horse, and I just think he'll lap up the straight. So, yeah, maybe a 1x3 play on the 8. But what were your thoughts?
I thought that Cleo Cat was short enough at the price. It's one of those ones. I think she's a really low variance horse, but she doesn't have the ratings edge, so you can't price her really, really short. But then again, you think that, you know, she's so low variance, she's probably going to run her rating, and that ratings is probably a little bit too big. So she's a hard one to price. But I agree with Nick. I think Lose Some, Win More is the one that can improve at 1,100 meters down the straight. I think it's best sort of trip in time down the straight. It's a big turn of foot. Just run off its feet over 1,000 last time. Yeah, could have something on it. Probably won't, but we'll see.
All right. Maybe I might be forced into a dual bet play there. Race 4 is over the mile. It's for the 3-year-olds. Another one who has been winning but comes up significantly in weight is the favorite, and that is Taken. He's $2.90. He carried 55.5 kilos last start. Now he's got the 60. Dark Simba is $4.40. From a distance is $9. Winning Toast, $10. And Dark Bone is $11. Botta, you've found the famous colours for Simon Wilde.
Yeah, the favourite Taken got a soft time of it in the lead last time at Flemington. I'm not sure that's going to be the case here. There's a little bit more pace on, and obviously it goes up in weight as well. The one I've had something on is From a Distance, who made a really good debut. They backed it on debut, then went to Warrnambool out of the King of Enterprise race and actually finished the quickest out of any horse in that race, and then was a bit of a certainty beat at Ballarat last time. I think it'll improve out to a mile. I think it's a horse that'll appreciate Flemington. So Declan Bates from a middle draw, I think he'll just slot in somewhere midfield and sell down the outside. I don't know if he's good enough to win, but I think he can make the improvement anyway. I don't think there's from top to bottom, I don't think there's a whole lot between the best of these. And I think 2-1 as a price is a little bit short for Taken. And also Dark Simba, who was good at Mornington last time in a slowly run race, but it's benefited from a positive map at its last two starts, and I'm be looking to take the favourites on. A horse called Dark Bonnie as well is one that I probably will have something on as well. I think it's a horse that would appreciate a bit of a stronger pace than what it got last time and was run off its feet. Nice SP there last time, so can settle forward with Harry Coffey on. I think those are the two I'll be on.
All right, $9 and $11 there, so a bit of value. Race 5 is a benchmark 84 over 1,400 metres or 1,420 with a rail out. Cafe Millennium keeps on running on well, but yet to get that win. $4.20 from Red Galaxy, $4.60. Great Maximus, $7. Hill Rip, $7.50. Carhoff, $9 and Bright Stripes, $12. You found one at a bit of value again here, I believe.
Yeah, I'm on. I've backed Freak of Nature, who flies fresh. I think it's won two of its three races first up. It's had four jump outs leading to this preparation, and I think it can just notch up a number that puts it in the finish here. And Cafe Millennium's is always a dirty back marker. It's won one of its 18 starts for a reason. It just, you know, it's always going to run well, I think. But I think it'll be at its best when it gets out to a mile, and maybe not on Saturday, maybe next start, I think, is the time to press the button on Cafe Millennium. And Red Galaxy, I have a query of where it might get in run from barrier 12. Broke slowly last time, and I thought it was really good, running some nice time late. I'm disappointed that the Synchro, the South Australian horse, has been scratched, because I thought it was an awful price and way too short. But nonetheless, Freak of Nature is a bet, and so is Bright Stripes, who was a stakes horse over in Europe, and it brings some nice sectional times first up from Sandown behind Hughes. It settled a long way back from an outside barrier, and I think it gets a jockey upgrade from Tom Preble to Jayla Kennedy. It'll go back again, but it's worth having something tiny on, I think. But Freak of Nature, the main bet in that race, I think it should be $7.
Too easy. We skip race 6. It is a disgusting race, and I reckon that might
Can I just say one thing about race 6? Sorry.
You can.
I didn't put it in. I thought that the horse that could improve enormously was Samarco, who got a long, long way back at last start, and some signs first up. I think it's an Italian Derby winner or something like that. Italian horse that won a group race over there. I think he can settle forward, be further forward anyway. And also, Virtuous Circle is just always just poorly positioned. But if they, I'd go as far as saying Virtuous Circle is just about the best horse in this race. But it's like $34, and so probably just have someone to find out.
He did win this time last year at Flemington. At $15. So hopefully you see a tactics change, or they go forward from 12. But yeah, don't know if they will.
Yeah, but they won't. Not that smart.
Race 7, none of us are actually betting in, but punters are probably going to want to know what our thoughts are around this horse, Splashback, who's into $1.75. Look, the last start rating is monster, and she can probably go on with it. But God, that's short, is it not?
Yes, it is short. I was like staring at 270, and I'm so annoyed at myself that I didn't take 270. I don't know why I didn't. Like, it was obviously a bet. Now it's $1.80, and I'm not going to be on. So, hopefully, it just gets trapped on the rail and gets beat. So it makes me feel better about myself for missing a price. I couldn't back anything to beat it. Resumed with a peak, and with splits to say it might go even better. So. I think it's more likely to improve at 14 than what it was to race at 12. So, yeah, I mean, if you took $2.70, you're sitting pretty comfortable there, I thought.
Yeah, I don't know. You got to, like,
she hasn't Pebble, put two together. Take
deep odds on for a 2 kilo claiming apprentice.
Yeah, I wouldn't back it, but I would have loved
She's
to.
She's never won two in a row before either.
That doesn't mean anything.
Well, it's got to mean something.
Yeah, she's not a bet for me. She's the most likely winner, but I'll probably just have a pineapple on Molly Knickers at $8 and hope Splashback doesn't reproduce. I just thought the form around Hughes is pretty good. She's actually going quite well, Molly Knickers, and she's had a bit of a mid-prep trial, which was good as well. So, yeah, big track she should like. Fence off. Flemington come with one barnstorming run down the outside and gets him with 55 kilos. So, I'll probably just have something small on Molly.
Mm.
All right, let's move on to race 8, where Nico and I are betting. It is the David Burke 1600 meters. It's an open event. Jimmy the Bear 480, Verdad $6, Dirty Rotten Verdad. El Soliato $7, St. Lawrence $7.50, Holy Man's $8, and Regal Zeus $8. He looks your most likely leader. Nico, you're shopping a bit of value here.
Well, yeah, I think St. Lawrence at his best is arguably the best horse in this race. He flies fresh. Change of stables with Gav. His recent trial was super. Johnny knows the horse well. As long as the inside's okay, I think he's a fantastic bet in the price he is. I don't see him missing a place, put it that way. So I think he's fairly over the odds at the moment, and I'd probably have him nearly favourite in this race.
Huge.
So, yeah, I think he's a fantastic bet. As long as that inside's okay, yeah, I think he'll give you a real big shout.
Yep. I'm going to back three horses in this race, and I have backed three horses in this race. They are number 3, Jimmy the Bear, number 8, St. Lawrence, and also, number 11, El Soliato. I've taken $5, $9, and $10. Jimmy the Bear is a deserving favorite, in my opinion. He started even money 2 weeks ago. It wasn't good tactics. It wasn't a good ride. He was well beaten by O2 Good, but that SP means a fair bit to me here, and I think he's going to, or he will be a lot more forward here from barrier 2. He's a horse who usually isn't that fast away from the barriers, so that is something to note. Hopefully, Tommy Prebble gives him a bit of a dig in the ribs, and I think $5 is a respectable price given how short he started last time. The form around War Machine, the start prior reads well. Sorry, the two starts prior, but he won the start prior to that. St. Lawrence has jumped out so well for Gav Bedgood, who... first start for Gav, I believe. It's also Casino 17's first start for Gav, and both of them have worked the house down in their two jump outs. So that is worth noting. As Nico said, this is possibly the best horse in the race. I don't think too many other horses in this race could say they would have won. What did he won the Little Downs, did he? Well, he won. So I think he did win that race on Everest Day.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And then he followed it up with another big win, carrying 60 kilos, beating Estadio Mestella. That's only going back to last spring. And look, he's had a couple average starts after that, but he's now with Gav. He's first up. Fresh form is awesome. 4 from 5. If he gets the right run from barrier 1, he's hard to beat. And El Soliato, well, we all saw what he did a couple of weeks ago. He pushed Marble 9 with the 61.5 kilos. He started 50-1 down the straight. 1600 meters, Flemington is more his MO. His ratings are good. 55 kilos is good, or 55.5. And the only worry is I've gone one too early here. It would have been nice to see him go 1400 then mile. He's 12 to 16, which is your query. He might be a little bit flat, but he's onside for me at a good price. Any thoughts, Bob?
Not really. I thought it was pretty close to market. Al Ciliato was interesting, but he's 12-16, and I could back Jimmy the Bear, but meh. No need.
All right, let's move on then to race 9, 1,100-meter three-year-old event. Fia Dallow is $2.90 from She's an Artist, $5. Brave One, $5.50. Gareth Hall said on radio today it's staying at Randwick at home. It's drawn barrier 12 in both races, but obviously down the straight it would have been a good draw, but back home it's probably going to go all the way back to last. Bridal Waltz, $7.50. Salsa Fellow, $9. Supercilious is $18, longer the rest. We're all betting here, but I'll start with you.
Yeah, the stable's got a good pin in this horse. So do I. I think it's a pretty talented filly. Won well, beating Sweethearted. That form's worked out pretty well. Nice splits there, and then won by 7 lengths first up at Bendigo. I think 1,000 metres isn't its go, but you know, was good enough to belt up some 58ers, which is, you know, it's weak form, but I think the market might like this. With Brave One coming out, I thought that was, I think we're saying that it's coming out. I thought that the gap between She's an Artist and Fiadello was a little bit too small based on, but they raced in the same day, and one race after the other, and I thought that based on the times and stuff, Fiadello was a lot better. Another, a couple others I have something small on is Sun Setting and Time Lapse, who are both nice horses for Yulong that I could see knocking the favourite off, but yeah, pretty happy to be with the favourite, Fiadello.
Great. Nico, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm happy to be with Fiadello. She was ultra impressive at Bendigo. I think She's an Artist is a really good filly on the up, but, you know, at level weights between those two, Fidello's beaten a pretty good horse on debut, had a break, come back, and hosed up, where She's an Artist is having her second start at the races. So I think She's an Artist is a nice horse, but just a bit too short for mine. I think, I think Fidello's should be a dominant favourite. I think she'll start a dominant favourite, and I think she'll win. She looks a really, really good horse, and fingers crossed for Toby that's how it eventuates, because these type of horses can put a trainer's name up in lights and essentially change their career. So I know that's putting the cart before the horse a little bit, but yeah, she looks very promising. Hopefully she can just go on with it.
Yep, I'm going to agree as well. She's the best bet of the day at Flemington on Saturday. I think she's stakes class, and some people might go, how can you say that? She's won a maiden and she's won a benchmark 58. Well, the horse she beat on debut, Sweethearted, has proved she's just about stakes class in her own right, and she held her off, beat her fair and square, come back better, put down a monster rating, carried 62.5 kilos, now drops down to 54. And I thought the main danger was Brave One, who's going to be scratched. So Brave One obviously brings the Kerguelen form. He's no world beater, but he just would have been right there and would have been, you know, the one to hold out. But without it in the race, Fiadello just screams back me. And I just think she'll go off on the day. I really can't see her starting above 250, 260 once this other horse comes out. Her final 400 metres, her final 600 was awesome last start, around 4 lengths above the class average. And yeah, Harry Coffey, he's making a habit of winning plenty of races on Saturdays, and he's probably one of the better riders at the meeting. So yep, I'm happy with her, and I think she might give these a bit of a spanking down on the minimum. All right, good. Let's move on. Do we want to do a bit of Royal Ascot?
Well, let's go to WA first, just for the one, and then you can do your Ascot after that.
All right, Pinjarra. We go to race 7, It's currently a soft seven, which is interesting. 2,000 meter group three, Western Empire $1.75, Hemlock Stone $5, Admiration Express $5.50, Triple Missile $9. Nico, interesting race. Western Empire clearly best horse, but potentially might not want it too wet.
Yeah, well, sort of, I've done a bit of digging, and my sort of info is that it's going to get to the heavy range. So if he runs, I think that's just a massive sort of grey up for me. Yeah, he's a horse that's obviously far better, the better the ground is. And yeah, if it's a heavy track, I'd be surprised if he runs. I sort of hope they scratch him, in all honesty, because if they scratch him, it's just, it's very simple. Hemlock Stone is absolutely the horse to beat. And even if he runs, I don't know where I sort of lie. I feel like if it's soft seven, heavy range, I want to be with Hemlock Stone. I know Western Empire is the best horse in the race, but he's just a horse that does not like wet ground. And if it's soft seven, heavy range on a track that's pretty chewed up as it is, it's going to be every bit of that. And I just don't think at that price I want to be piling into him. So, yeah, it's a wait and see job at the moment. If it gets back to that sort of five or better range, absolutely with Western Empire. But if it's that soft seven, heavy range, I'd be surprised if he runs, to be honest.
What price do you think you're looking at if Western Empire comes out with Hemlock Stone? Are we looking at $2.80? Are we looking at
$3? Yeah, probably that sort of $3 mark, I'd reckon.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And he does have he's got the big heavy track win on the board as well. So if the heavens do open, he's probably going to be backed. Did you say Terry liked him a lot?
Yeah, Terry, well, spoiler alert, Terry really likes Hemlock Stone. So, yeah, even if Western Empire's in the race, he'll be really keen on him tomorrow unless something dramatic's happened. He's of the opinion that if he wasn't interfered with last start, he would have nearly won the race. Grant Williams was asked the same question today on with Gareth, and he sort of said, I don't think he would have won. I think he would have run sort of third. But, yeah, it's a shame that the track's looking like it's going to be the way that it is, because Western Empire was super last start and raced like a horse that wanted 2,000 metres, only just getting there in the shadows of the post off a setback. But, yeah, it's a hard one.
Yep. All right, for what it's worth, I have taken $2.30 Western Empire, but I've taken it on Bet365, so I do have that opportunity to cash out if it's heavy, but I might not need to, as Nico said, they might be scratching. All right, let's get up to the Royal Meeting. Tonight, well, this podcast isn't going to be out quick enough, but Charles Darwin does look a really nice two-year-old in race one, and we've obviously got the Gold Cup. Probably a three-horse race between Trawlerman, Candelari, Illinois. My main result is Trawlerman, just because I know he will stay the trip, but Bott is having something on the French horse, Candelari, who looks extremely talented.
Not really. I mean, like, I am, but, like, not... I don't know.
Come on, mate. Just are you backing on or not?
Well, yeah, I am, but I'm not going to tip it at people. Like, I'm just having for a bit of fun.
Well, you're having something on. Nico, are you having any bets tonight? Doesn't really matter for the listener's sake, but...
No.
They can
nothing for me.
They can shitbag us in retrospect. Let's get to... Oh, also, Labott is running tonight.
Oh, yeah. Race I'll five. Back him.
Race 5, Labott.
Yeah, I'll make that a good result.
He's 10s into 850.
In Cole McKenna's colours.
Yeah.
Are we any... It's that's his favourite, isn't he? And then like in a, it's 8-1, 7-1 the field.
Yeah. There you go. Tomorrow night, race 2, the Commonwealth Cup is a group one. It's over 1,200 metres. Shadow of Light, top price, $2.88 from Babush, $5.50. John Keel is $7.50 and Whistle Jacket for Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore is $11. Really keen on Shadow of Light here. He is dropping back from 1,600 metres. He ran third, only beaten a length by Ruling Court and Field of Gold in the 2,000 guineas. I think he's more speed than stamina, and his rider, William Buick, did say that after he won a couple starts back. But the turn of foot he showed last time, he just weakened out didn't quite run a strong mile, but back to 1,200 metres here is great. He's got the best racing post rating in the race, and he draws out in 19, which the last couple of straight races, it has been the place to be. There are only two dangers, and they are Babush and John Keel. Babush really improved her rating last time, won by nearly three lengths to Whistlejacket. Whistlejacket's been a good sort of yardstick because they're better than him and they run out a strong 1,200 metres than him. And Shadow of Light beat Whistlejacket by four at Newmarket going back three. So Babush, she's the best, probably the best filly in the race. And John Keel, he actually ran second to Henri Matisse in the French Guineas. So he's another one coming back from the mile, but he's never been to 1,200 metres. All of his form is sort of 14 to 16, and I just reckon he might be outpaced. So the market reflects that. Shadow of Light surely gets Charlie Appleby back on the board for the first time since 2022 Royal Ascot. Bot, any thoughts?
I don't know any of the horses in that.
All right. We'll get to a horse that you do know something about, and that's in race four. It's the Coronation Stakes. It is for the girls again. Zaragana, $3.25 favorite from Philea Care, who has been supplemented in $3.50. January is $8.50, as well as Contiki, and then exactly is $12. What can you say about this Aga Khan filly who won the 1,000 guineas over in France?
Oh, not much. I'm not gonna pretend like I know what I'm talking about. It's good filly. It looks good. It's mum's Frankel out of what's it called? Zarkava. He won an arc, and obviously Frankel. So there's a bit of a page there. It keeps squealing home for which it's races. It's sprinting home of slow speeds and stuff. But Barcelona's got to be the worst jockey of all time. how he's gotten that horse beaten or was second past the post last time. I don't know how he does it, but full credit to him. He's in a good position. He's riding for Aga Khan, even though he doesn't seem like a very good rider from what I've seen of him. I don't know. I don't know anything about the other horses. I just think she's a talented one, and I've been excited about her for a while, just mainly based on the breeding.
Yeah, she's my second best bet of the week. Field of Gold was the tomato sauce at the start of the week, but this is bet number two. As Bot mentioned, Barcelona, drawn barrier nine, is the big worry. If you don't know Mikhail Barcelona, he's a horse who likes to ride extremely negatively.
He's a horse. He's a horse who likes to ride.
Oh, did I say that? He's a jockey. He's a jockey. He's not a horse. He's about... He's about 1/8 of a horse. He's a jockey who likes to ride his horses extremely negatively, and he just rides them really arrogantly, drops them back out to last, and they always scream home. And I don't know why he does it, but it's just his riding style. This horse is going to be in the second half of the field, so it's going to be heart and mouth stuff. And the main danger is Philea Care, who has been running good time, and she will be probably 5 to 6 lengths in front. But getting cover and peeling wide has been a positive in the last couple of nights of Royal Ascot. And I think Zaragana might just monster them over that final 600 metres. She's clearly the best horse in this race. And what she did last start, winning the 1,000 guineas, she's perfect. Bumped her, so she was second over the line, but she got the protest. So I think she's very, very good, and we might see her over 2,000 metres and further in the months to come or years to come. And I think that's where we'll really see the best of her.
Yep.
Saturday night, just got a couple of races. Race two is the Hardwick. It's a group two.
That's a race.
It usually rates as a group one. Rebel's Romance is $3.30 from Al Riffer, $6.50. Ghost Rider, $6.50. Space Legend, $7.50. Alazi, a very good horse, is $11. Sunway, $12. Great race. Rebel's Romance, he's been probably below his best. He is getting a bit older now, 7-year-old gelding. But any thoughts in this race, Bot?
Nah, I just like the Hardwick because, like, I remember Pile Driver winning it.
Yeah.
Like, And then he won the Ask the King George and stuff. I don't know any of these horses. I've heard of Alassi. I've heard of Al Rufa. Burdette Road, that went jumping, didn't he? Ghost Rider, I think I've seen that horse just got sold for about $2 million.
Yeah.
Rebel's Romance, I know that one. I don't know.
It's as good as a Group Two as you get the Hardwick usually. It rates up as a Group One. If they wanted to change it to a Group One, they probably could, but I think there is reasons why they don't. It's because there's the other. I forgot
the King George.
Yeah, the King George, and they don't want to sort of pull horses away from that. So in Australia, we'd just be making it a Group One straight away, wouldn't we?
Yep.
The only other race of interest is in race three, and this is a great race as always. It's the 1,200-meter Group One of the Carnival. It is the Queen Elizabeth Jubilee. I just know it as the Diamond Jubilee. Lizat, $4. Inisherin, $5.50. Satono Rev, $5.50. Stormboy, $5.50. Wow.
Ooh.
Top
what?
Gear, $8.50. And Flora of Bermuda, $12. It's because he trained by Aidan O'Brien and ridden by Ryan Moore. Crazy price. I've got two bets. I'm very keen on both of them. Lizat, this is the first time I've actually seen the barrier draw. Lizat has drawn 11. Satono Rev has drawn 16. Get in there. They are great draws. Lizat will go forward. He'll probably lead this race or sit right on the leader's hammer. And the middle to outside has been the place to be. We know Lizat because he probably should have won a Golden Eagle. He ran second in that Golden Eagle after covering a bit of ground. He's gone back to 1,200 metres and he won by nearly 6 lengths at Shanty last time. And I think the straight 1,200 metres at Ascot will really suit him. We get the Doyler in the saddle, James Doyle. Satono Rev is the other one who brings the Car Ying Rising and Helios Express form. He's a Group 1 winner in Japan. He is Japan's best sprinter. He can win on soft ground. He can win on fast ground. And Barrier 16 is perfect. So those are two horses I'm really strong on. If Zaragana wins and then either of these sprinters win, I will be winning for the week.
Cool.
All right, but any other bets worldwide, Australia-wide, Friday, Sunday?
No, I haven't looked properly. I've been too tired.
You sound it.
Yeah, I'm fucked. I'm cast. I'll still watch all the races tonight, though.
Yeah. I don't know if I'll stay up tonight. I said I won't, but I probably will.
You said that last night, mate.
Yeah, I did. And I was still up at, I reckon, 2 a.m., 2:30 a.m. Yeah. But it's right. I've been working from home a couple of days, so it helps. Nico, anything else? Are you still there?
No, I think he's fucked off.
Right. He's probably, he's probably gone to watch Essendon or check the multi.
Oh, no. No, hold on. Here he is. He's back.
Nico, anything else?
You're muted, mate.
No, nothing else for me. All right. That's all.
I don't even know when Chartin is, but I'd probably have to check. Anyway, let's get to...
usually on Sunday?
It usually is on Sunday, but the fields aren't out just yet. Sometimes that happens.
Maybe there's no shut-in.
Maybe. Maybe Royal Ascot is pissed shut-in off. Maybe it's on a Monday. Sometimes they do public holiday Monday racing. All right, we need a back, we need a lay, and we need a pray. Will, surely you just take the $1.70 in our multi, please.
Obviously, it's a certainty.
Great. So race one, number two is your best.
Yeah, I feel dirty doing that, but sure. I don't know. Freak of Nature, I like it, a bit of a price, but I also really like From a Distance. And what do I think's too short? I don't really know. I can't remember. Move on.
Nico, best bet?
My best is probably going to be bracket, lose some, win more, and St. Lawrence. I'm going value.
So
but my podcast leg is going to be lose some, win more.
To win?
To win.
Oh. Have we swapped positions or something?
You can take the place if you want.
We need to make a decision now.
Take the place. Yeah.
All right. We'll take the place for the podcast multi.
Yeah. My value is both lose some, win more, and St. Lawrence. I think they're both very good value at the current quote. And my lay would probably be the filly in the last. She's an artist. I think she's too short.
And she will be shorter, obviously, once Brave One comes out.
You're probably laying at the place, to be honest.
One horse I actually forgot to mention. We forgot to mention race 8 at Ipswich, number 2, Warning. He might not be my best bet, but we skipped over him and we shouldn't have. He ran monster splits behind Front Page last time. He's actually a son of Highland Reel, who came over here from Europe, from England. And I think he's ready to peak, third up 1,350 metres, draws well, barrier 3, so you can bet him. But my podcast multi-tip is probably going to be in the hands of Mikhail Barzalona, because I'm going to go Zaragana tomorrow night. I think she's definitely the best filly in France. She's one of the best fillies in the world, full stop. So Barzalona, just don't get too far back. I think $3.25 is a fantastic price. My best each way, we know what that is. That is race 3 at Flemington, number 8, Thespian Waters. You can obviously bet on Nico's as well, $7.50 and $18 mine. So I think he's just a really, really good price. And in terms of taking a horse on, I'll go Splashback. Look, it's a deserved favourite. I just reckon it's really short at $1.75, race 7 Flemington, and I wouldn't be surprised if Molly Knickers grabs it on the wire. So $7.50 for Molly Knickers. All right, couple questions. Not going too badly for time. Let me get up Twitter first. There's a couple crackers here. Nico's fan page. Thoughts on Lake Forest the other night at Ascot? Seems a bit of a camel in my opinion. I thought he started really short. I don't know. Probably not a miler. As I said the other day in the group chat, we've seen some weird results at Rose Hill at times. So I don't think he's a better horse than Lazat. And he just got up along that rail and grew wings. I don't know. I don't think he's quite as good as we thought. B2B, have you had the house on Shadow of Light yet? Haven't quite had the house on, but I've had
Who's that? Is he the one?
He's the Godolphin horse.
Oh, the sprinting one?
Yeah, he ran third behind Ruling Court and Field of Gold last time. Drops back to 1,200.
I see.
Michael, where's a good place to get raw race and trial data?
Well, I think ratings to win do it, but
I don't They're know if
expensive, you pay, but $10,000 a year for trial data. I think it's trying to to be honest with you, trial data isn't good. That's not real. Like, there's so much unknown about trials. There's no point actually trying to rate it and stuff.
You're enjoying punting form, aren't you?
Me?
Yes. Just punning use punting form.
I don't use that.
Punting form, not for trial data, but for raw, like for raw race data.
Oh, I don't use it, but they'd have raw times, but I don't know if they're
good. I'm getting mixed up with Form King and Punting Form.
Oh, yeah, I don't think Form King's
But they don't do raw data. Yeah.
Daily sectionals. There's times. I don't think Dave has a license to use the actual raw times.
Yeah. If you just want raw times though, Punting Form is good for that.
Yeah.
Ryan Patton. In light of my old mate doing a hammy tossing the coin at the footy last week, what is the weirdest way you've ever been injured?
I don't really have a story, to be honest.
I've got one. I was playing footy under 16s or under 18s, and I was just like getting into like a bit of a, you know, pushy, shovey, whatever, like just stupid, with another guy on the field, my opponent, and I just went to bump him and I absolutely shattered one of my fingers and it was like bent sideways. and I was out for 8 weeks. And all I did was was bump him, and I got my finger obviously caught in his jumper, and it just my finger just snapped.
Ouch.
Oh, yuck.
And I looked, and it was one of those ones where you didn't actually really feel it because you're playing footy and the adrenaline's just rushing. And I looked down at my finger, and it was just like sideways. And I was like, "What the hell just happened?" So that's the weirdest way I've ever been injured.
I dislocated my little pinky playing footy.
Yeah.
When I was like 12.
Yeah. Finger injuries with footy are like the worst, and they're so easy to do. So easy to do. Ryan Patton, this one got 27 likes. Bot seems
27?
To know. Bot seems to know the dam / sire of every racehorse to grace the turf. Has he looked away? Was he locked away under the staircase as a kid, Harry Potter style, to study the pedigree of all equine animals? Our very own Harry Potter. Very good. Very good. That deserves a clap.
No, when you look at as many horses as I do, you start to remember the names of the mums and the dads and stuff. So, I don't know.
Sickening.
I don't do it. I just look at lots of horses, spend lots of time on it. But no, I wasn't locked away as a kid. I did it to myself, really. My parents have got no interest in racing.
Yeah.
Mum sort of does, but because of me.
Deethy, this is one for you, Bot. With the rise of Observer, what does he need to do to become the GOAT?
Win on Saturday, that'd be a fucking start.
And a lot more.
Well, it's a good start. Bot's mum has chimed in and reminded us that it's his 21st birthday on Sunday, and she's gone happy 21st birthday with the little robot emoji. So,
oh, God.
What are you doing on the weekend to celebrate?
I'm going out for dinner, and I don't know. I've been sick all week. I don't know. I probably won't, not going to. I don't know. I've got no plans.
Mates or misses or both?
Probably both. Do both.
Yeah, sweet. Tyce Hunter says, Bot, are you moving in with your misses?
Not yet, no.
Isaac Fry, Nico, calling the $84,000 multi basically home was the funniest segment ever to be recorded.
We haven't touched on this.
We're two down. We're on.
We're three down.
essentially $82,000.
Essentially, we can start spending.
Essentially, my fate is in Grace Forbes' hands. So, what could possibly go wrong?
Oh God, I kind of hope she fucking just sends it.
No,
sends
don't. It
the big, the big the positive is that he's in Australia already. That's a massive tick.
Oh, 100%.
So,
We can just hope and pray. Tim Clark said the other day that's the best horse he's ever sat on.
Oh, stop it.
Oh.
And we're obviously, our third leg is the best horse Zach Purton has ever sat on. And
he's just going to turn up.
David Hayes has ever trained.
Turn up, run in reverse, it's over.
Tell you what, punters, if Car Ying Rising wins the Everest, then book in your Melbourne Cup tickets because it's going
to
be serious.
We're not going to be able to go to the track. We're going to have to watch it somewhere else. We can't be there. I'll be too nervous. I'll be pacing down the straight six.
I'll be doing laps around that little lake at the end of the straight.
I'll be in,
And if he gets beat, he'll jump into the lake.
Well, it's going to be one. It's a Melbourne Cup. So he could be gone at the 500 or he could be in with a chance. Like,
hopefully,
I don't even want to think about it.
Hopefully he's this very elegant Estes out the back smoking the pipe.
Oh, Coops Irwin has got a couple.
Anyway, the dream's still alive. That's all that matters.
The dream's still alive. If you trained Australia's top line horses, which Ascot race would you aim them for? Well, it depends what distance they ran over.
Their mile is a world class, probably better than ours. So the sprints.
They're not. Doc Lands won the fucking Queen Anne. They're obviously not that good.
He's a great Ascot horse.
That doesn't matter. Well, got beaten 11 lengths in a Cox Plate.
Track and trip does matter.
They don't really have a... Like, Field of Gold is going to be a star, but...
We won't get to see the best of him.
Was Bayard 2022?
Yeah, something like that.
He was probably like the last proper world-class miler.
I reckon Antino would have won on the other day.
Oh, here we go.
Antino would have lapped him.
Oh, he probably would have beat, what, Rosalian and Docklands.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the Kingstand, to answer Cooper's question, the Kingstand day one and the Jubilee day five is the races that the Aussies always win, and that's the race you'd set them for. What would you rate as the top three carnivals in the world? I'd go Melbourne Cup Carnival number one, Royal Ascot number two, and the 2 days of the Hong Kong International Race Week, the Wednesday Jockey Challenge and the Sunday International Meeting as number three.
Wannable number one, and doesn't matter about the rest. couldn't care less.
Actually, I'd go Royal Ascot three and Hong Kong two.
Flemington one. I like the Caulfield Cup one, but I'd probably go Royal Ascot second and then Caulfield Cup Carnivals.
Yep.
Third.
I'm probably going to get my head ripped off for not saying Rooney Valley, but the Friday night really lets it down as an overall carnival.
Mini Valley Gold Cup doesn't do it for you, mate, does it?
No. Well, the Ladbrokes 55-second challenge is probably the feature on that night, to be fair.
Oh, God. What a disgrace.
The country series final, the country sprint final. But what's your forfeit if Observer loses?
I don't know. I'd do a fuckload of money. I think that's a fair forfeit.
Yeah.
And he's just hyped another one up.
This is your punishment. You're obviously posting the race replay tweets for racing.com. You gotta do a real dull tweet.
I just like, won't post it.
Impending war wins race one.
I've observed.
Cost Will an absolute fucking fortune. And cost the admin about fucking $1 million.
That would be the greatest. And only like a select niche amount of people would know that it's you posting it.
I'll say logging off now. See you later, cunts.
Oh, fantastic.
That's brilliant. When I post some Mooney Valley and like another horse wins and I've had a strip out, it's so hard as well. You're just like...
I do it all the time.
Yeah.
I have to post them after
and you have to
dumb
act
my balls and I'm like... This horse has won.
He's won at 20-1, and I've done my absolute tremendous. The Cat Graham.
Shit.
Thoughts on Charles Darwin into trolling multi for some quick cash tonight? Well, the Cat Graham, I'm not sure if you're going to be able to listen to this in time, but I've got them both on top. Charles Darwin looks a very impressive 2-year-old, and Trollerman, we know he's going to stay 4,000. He ran second, only beating a length to Kyprios in this race last year. And he does have a big win over Kyprios over 2 mile at Ascot. So he's the one who will stay the trip, but Botswan Candelari is a very exciting stayer. And I feel like if one horse is going to come out and smash him, it's probably going to be the French horse just because he's all the X factor. But yeah, Trollerman seems the safest one just because you know he's going to run them into the ground and stay the 4,000. All right, happy?
Yep.
All right. We're only on an hour there, so not too bad tonight for time. We hope you enjoyed that, and we'll see you back here next week. Cheers.
Ta.